When I started to talk about pure subjectivity, which is like the basic subject I wanted to address in regards to conceptual fundamentals of the teaching, I thought I would be talking like 10 minutes, 30 minutes at the most, but there's actually a lot of things to talk about. It's not just that it is a fascinating subject, it is actually a profoundly complex subject. Something that you maybe take for granted, but you should not. It's like you think you understand something, but you understand it just on the surface. You don't understand it really deep at the very core of what it is. So let me remember, I made a distinction between the basic sense of the subject being the experiencer, who is in experiencing himself by being entangled by formulating his sense of self, by being entangled in his relationship with the world, and that processing apparatus, which is his mind, and actually the pure subject. Which is basically the external person. And I also address the fact that, such as in Gurdjieff teaching, which aimed at isolating that pure subject from that element of how he interacts with the environment. So that he can experience himself in a pure way, as Gurdjieff called the true I. And I mentioned that it is actually not possible. It is possible, but in a very limited way, because, as I have explained many times, the person cannot experience himself in a wholesome way without having the foundation in our overall pure subjectivity. This is why we start with awakening all the centers of pure me, prioritizing initially pure me of consciousness. So while his idea was sensible, to recognize that external person alone as the pure subject. It was not really practically feasible. And it is not a criticism. I love Gurdjieff. I love people who are trying to discover new things. They fail here and there. And so did I. In the course of teaching, I had to change many concepts because they were not really accurate. They were just like an approximate, represented approximate understanding. So it is not a criticism. It's not like he did something wrong and he was just not understanding spiritual reality. He was in the process of discovering the truth. What is wrong is to define his conclusion, the process, discovery as the final conclusion, as far, far from final. This is so far from final. There is nothing wrong with making mistakes. There's nothing wrong with failing to come to complete understanding. It's part of the journey. You're supposed to fail. You're supposed to misconstrue certain things. What will be wrong is being stuck in that, refusing to evolve further, refusing to transcend one's present understanding, to question it. What would be wrong is to make it dogmatic. But anyway, so we have the concept of the pure subject, which would, in this case, would be the external person. Because what other things people experience as the subject? Nothing. They have nothing. They're just the external person. And that is the confusion that is connected to that initial revelation of Upanishads regarding the true self that is behind our sensory and perceptual faculties. That is not what we see, that is not what we think. It's not what we feel, and that he's supposed to be independent from the things. And the confusion here is, I know I repeat myself, but it is actually very important. The confusion is here, who actually he is? What is the subject? What is the self? As much as these people had amazing revelations, they were like, oh my God, they brought such a deep insight into human consciousness. still they did not have the technology, not just to explain what they were talking about, but to understand what they were saying for themselves. And that's the truth. So, what is the distinction between the pure subject and pure subjectivity? In a way, there's no distinction, but at the same time, there is a very significant distinction. Because in the concept of the pure subject, we are highly simplifying the matter. And as I already said, if we just follow logically the idea, it would be the concept of pure subject would just refer to the external person, but there's so much more to pure subjectivity. So much more. First, it is multidimensional, not just external person. Furthermore, it's not just who we are, it is who we can become. How our true self can unfold, how he can expand into himself. It is not just about finding your true I, it's about awakening the dimensions of your pure subjectivity that never existed before. And I will speak about it further, because the next subject that I would like to address is awakening of me. Meeting with me. It's all interrelated, just at different angles of looking at the same thing. Furthermore, pure subjectivity. It includes, it's like a bigger context, it includes the dimensions of our true self that are beyond the person. And not only that, they are not only beyond the person, they are also beyond our individuality. Such as they include universal, absolute, and primordial subjectivity, which we, in generic terms, call transcendent subjectivity. that territory, like that fundamental territory of pure subjectivity that is being awoken within us, is actually the domain of the internal knower. It's not even about the person. The person is involved, but it is beyond the person. It is that territory of the internal knower that gives rise to our pure subjectivity. That is actually the foundation of our pure subjectivity. This is why Gurdjieff failed to understand, or at least he failed to conceptualize it. Without creating that territory, that base pure subjectivity of the soul, the external person cannot realize himself. Doing all these practices like mindfulness or whatever Gurdjieff dances and all the exercises will not facilitate the realization of the external person as himself. In fact, it can actually backfire, distort. In a way, it makes him more conscious, but also it's making him distorted. You know, unconsciousness is, as they say, is bliss, and that actually refers to the external person. It's better if he's completely unconscious, or at least unconscious enough, than that he becomes fully conscious without the base of pure subjectivity created by the internal knower. Of course, you know, it's important that the external person is a bit conscious, or conscious enough, but he cannot really grasp his pure subjectivity alone. Without that base pure subjectivity created by the internal knower. Because he will just hurt himself. His presence disjoint from that base subjectivity created by the internal knower will become his demise. And that's the fact. And that is the flow of the Gurdjieff teaching. External person in this connection from the base subjectivity of the internal knower, he will become like an artificial intelligence. It's not that artificial intelligence can recognize its subjectivity, I'm just speaking theoretically. Become basically a conscious robot. So anyway, since I don't really want to talk about the concept of pure subjectivity for this whole retreat, the foundation of pure subjectivity is the dimension of self which has been created through the activity and grace of the internal knower, which in itself is based on the transmission of the knowledge of self from the universal intelligence, universal consciousness that somehow miraculously entered our individual existence. But then it needs to be developed, because what enters is like the knowledge of the potential, which then has to unfold based on the activity of pure attention, which additionally need to be supported by our personal intelligence, so that all these dimensions of pure me can be birthed, can come into existence. It's truly amazing for someone who can see, who has the eyes to see. It's so amazing. Recognizing that pure subject, which is external person, independent from his activities, it's beautiful. Even though, as I said, you cannot really grasp his identity without having that base pure subjectivity, which is created by the internal knower. But you can have a glimpse of it. And that's beautiful, but it is also shallow in itself. You need to have that base, pure subjectivity. And it refers not just to the expansion of the soul herself. It is built in the context of our soul connecting to the higher, transcendent subjectivity. So there's the element of surrender, element of transcendence, not just of the person, transcendence of individuality that makes it possible. That's why the technology of spiritual awakening is so complex and so difficult to convey. It's so difficult to explain, because you need to see this big picture. So, going back, pure subjectivity is basically the experience of who we are, which is independent from our interaction with the world, that processing mediator between us and the world, which is our mind and personality. But what complicates the matter is that it is not a singular thing, that we have dimensions of pure subjectivity. Meaning, we can experience our pure subjectivity on different levels. It's like saying that one has a soul. Okay, that's beautiful, but how deeply, how widely is one experiencing that soul? That is an entirely different matter. One can be a small soul, big soul, deep soul, expanded soul, a soul that is universal, absolute, primordial. That is all these variations. And it is all pure subjectivity. Pure subjectivity, which is in a combination of several things. First of all, knowledge of self, how much the self has expanded into himself, how much intelligence, recognition, and understanding has been infused into that knowledge of self, and love. Love, which is embedded in self. So don't take that concept of pure subjectivity lightly. Contemplate it. Because there's a more in it that meets the eye. I am myself. Even, of course, I know what pure subjectivity is, but as I'm talking about it, I'm getting to know it deeper. I'm discovering it again and again, and I'm astonished. Seriously, I'm astonished by all the revelations that are hiding behind that concept. And so should you be. Don't take things for granted. Don't get used to different concepts. Because they are not just concepts. They are the concepts, they are representing different dimensions of reality. And these dimensions of reality are living, real. And you should keep not just exploring them, but you should keep developing deeper, more conscious, more intelligent relationship with them. So my question to you is, do you know what pure subjectivity is? I mean, really, do you know? Do you think you know? Because at the back of your mind you have some kind of a translation of the term. You've already translated it for yourself. But that, the problem with that, it is very superficial. Go deeper into the understanding of yours, not just the, of course you need to go deeper into the experience of your subjectivity, but you need to go deeper into understanding what it is, and you need to question the understanding which you have already formulated. Because while this understanding is maybe valid, maybe precious, maybe important, it is also limiting your capacity for a deeper, more profound understanding. Can you see this point? That understanding actually can somehow become your prison. In the sense, and I'm not speaking about, you know, like that, non-conceptualization, not knowing, is the base of our existence. I'm not speaking about this. I'm speaking just within the realm of understanding, that understanding, when it is defined, when it is like well constructed, when it becomes in a way dogmatic, can become a prison for the mind. Because the mind seeks security, it seeks definition, it seeks conclusion. Part of the mind. So we are living in this reality where we think we understand things, where we define our perception of the world, outer and inner, through certain well-defined, rounded concepts. But then we possibility for reaching higher understanding, which demands the very transcendence of our previous understanding. That's a very important thing. Most people, they resist, and I'm not just speaking about the ordinary people, but even those who have highly developed mind, they resist transcending what they know, transcending of the known. Just as an example, Einstein, even though he fathered quantum physics, he resisted its conclusions because it was against his preconceived notions, his harmonious perception of reality. That's why he said that, because quantum physics is kind of freaky. He said, God doesn't play dice. And what was his name? I used to write some articles on the subject. Planck, maybe, he said, what if God does play dice? According to Einstein, God doesn't play dice, but maybe he does. But this is not what I'm... The main thing I'm trying to say, is addressing the capacity to transcend one's present understanding, which constitutes our intellectual security in order to reach a higher understanding. So you need to go beyond that so-called security or illusion of security, or the, how to say that, certain station stage in your security, that you need to be able to transcend it in order to reach higher understanding and therefore higher security, because intellectual understanding gives us security. Because it's not just about understanding things. We need to secure our understanding. There's nothing wrong with having security in understanding. What is the shortcoming, the possible shortcoming is that it becomes dogmatic, that we are afraid that perhaps it is inadequate, and we block the path to reach the higher understanding. It applies to everything, to everything. Medicine, physics, science, religions, they're all stuck in that fear that maybe their understanding is inadequate. And because of this fear, they block the best possibility to move forward into higher understanding. Look at our teaching. This is a constant evolution into higher understanding. I would love that we kind of reach a final conclusion, final truth, that we create this final map of awakening without question. To be so much easier. But the new things, new revelations that are coming in, to push them away in order to maintain our security, to maintain our map of awakening, that will be a lie. It's not that our map of awakening is inaccurate. It is just that it can become more accurate, more expanded, enriched by higher understanding. So there is a certain element of insecurity behind pursuing the truth, because you are opening to the unknown, and that is an essential component of pursuing the truth, because if you are unable to transcend the known, what you think you know, because you are afraid of the new, it means not just that you lack imagination, that you lack the spirit of investigation, curiosity, the sense of adventure and intelligence, but deep down, what it means that you are a coward. You're just a coward. And the question is, do you want to remain a coward? Because who you are is flexible. You are not defined by your upbringing, by the collective consciousness, by your general constitution, predispositions. They are more they represent the wide sense of influences within yourself. But what defines you are your choices, your intelligence. Basically, you are defining and redefining yourself. You are not created by your parents, you are not created by your society, you are not created by your religions. You are created ultimately by yourself. I kind of was sidetracked, but it is all related to the subject of pure subjectivity. You think you know what pure subjectivity is, but maybe you don't, or perhaps you can know deeper. Or perhaps you can dive into that knowledge with more feeling, with more understanding, or at least a desire to understand. One thing I can tell you, if you think you know what pure subjectivity is, you actually don't know what pure subjectivity is at all. Because there's an element of not knowing, this element of mystery, there's this element of amazement, there's this element of what? In the world it is. It is. What in the world it is? If you don't have this thing, this amazement, this fundamental puzzlement, what in the world pure subjectivity is? And you think you know, it means you don't know anything. You've just created a construct, a substitute in your head, in your mind, for the real understanding, which in turn imprisons you and blocks the very possibility to gain, to reach out into a deeper, more profound understanding. And then when you reach this more profound understanding, remember, it is just a station towards even deeper understanding, because it becomes a new construct in your mind, a new definition, a new conclusion, then it will become your new prison. better than it was before, but still a prison. Do you want to live in a prison? Do you want to live in a prison just out of fear? Just out of insecurity? I want to be in the state of constant journey, flowing with the river of life. To say it differently, do you want to be dead or you want to be alive? The choice is yours. Living dead. You know, there's many movies about zombies and stuff, and they're all so ridiculous, but they're also symbolic. Because this is what people are, they are living dead. So they are. So all these horror movies, they're somehow expressing unknowingly their own very situation. So do you want to be a living dead? Or you want to be living? To be living is a continuous process of transcendence of the known. So that the known does not become the dogmatism. Dogmatism is like the enemy, the killer of the living truth. So you want to be living dead, and you want to be alive. You want to flow into the new, or you want to be stuck in the past? And again, the question arises, how does it all relate to pure subjectivity? It relates very much, because your conception of pure subjectivity is based on the past. It has to be refreshed, has to be renewed. Has to be fundamentally revolutionized. You think you know something, but you don't know. You think you know, based on your memory, based on your preconceived notions, based on your dogmatic thinking, but actually what you know is another form of lie. You're basically lying to yourself. That lying gives you a sense of security, but security is for cowards, courageous men. Live in insecurity. Live in the fundamental principle, understanding that even though they know something, there's so much more to know. There's that vast, infinite space of the unknown. That is ready to reveal its knowledge. To the one who is in the state of quest, the quest.